Hello there and welcome to the programme. This weekend is dominated by hurling. Finals in both Leinster and Munster. And it's also a final day for the Joe McDonagh Cup. What a mouth-watering couple of days we've got in store.
Hairman goes to ground, now driving forward is Adam Hogan, the youngster.
Has to be free!
There's no free, that's unbelievable.
Oh my God!
The game is over, Limerick have done it.
Has
a controversial finish to the game, and the talk of the Limerick demise was premature. They've done the five in a row in Munster. It will leave a sour taste in the mouth for Clare, denied a late equaliser.
It has to be a free, it has to be a free!
Chance of a goal perhaps for Kilkenny. They strike it now, and it's a goal!
Killian Buckley.
The two-point advantage from Galway has been wiped out, and the 5 minutes are up. A one-point lead and a one-point game and a one-point win. Unbelievable finish.
Drama everywhere you look, and it's with Leinster hurling that we start. Much was made of Galway's exit from the championship, but was enough credit given to Dublin for their displays in the round robin? Well, they're in the Leinster final. They're up against Kilkenny, and here to chat through the game ahead are former Dublin goalkeeper Alan Nolan and Kilkenny's Owen Larkin. Good to have you on board, lads. Alan, I start with you first of all. Dublin of 2024, have they received enough credit yet?
Probably not, to be honest with you, Damien. I suppose at the start of the campaign, they were coming in off the back of a patchy enough league, and then they were starting off with Antrim, Carlo, and people were saying like they're only beating teams that are probably below them. But then the way it worked out for them, they were gaining momentum of every game, and then what people thought of the last two games were, they're at home to Kilkenny and away to Galway to try and maybe get up to top three. And the way it went for them, like, they probably disappointed coming away from Parnell Park, not having finished the job, and then but gained confidence enough saying, well, we can go to Salt Hill even though we haven't won there in a long time. And to be honest, I know the sending off had a big bearing on the game, but I think they played Galway off the park.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree with that. Owen, just before we touch on your thoughts on Dublin, Kilkenny of 2024, an injury-ridden year. John Donnelly and Mikey Carey are named in the team. But what have you made of Derek Ling's team so far this season?
Yeah, I suppose a bit like Dublin, they've been patchy enough in stages, but, you know, seem to be getting the job done. Look, there's no doubt about it. They were lucky to come away from Parnell Park with a win, and I suppose lucky again then against Wexford. But look, they're not flashy or anything like that. They're just getting the job done. But look, there's another huge test coming on Saturday.
Yeah, and Alan, Kilkenny versus Dublin in Croker rather than Parnell. What are the dynamics there apart from the obvious ones?
Well, like, look, you do have to, as Owen said there, like, Kilkenny are getting the job done, and they're going for their fifth Leinster in a row. So, like, even though they mightn't be hitting the highs of playing their best hurling, like, they're still going into the final, like, with four in a row under their belt. Like, but I really think if Dublin get their running game going, they can hurt Kilkenny. But for Dublin to win, I think they're going to have to come away with not leaving behind a missed goal chance, like maybe the Ronan Hayes one in Parnell Park. But the wide open spaces, and look, in fairness, Kilkenny, like, they have legs in their team as well. If the likes of a Mikey Carey's wing back, David Blanchfield, well able to get up and down the pitch. But when you look at the traits of Dublin from the start of the league, they're going short. Brian Hayes dropping deep, carrying through the midfield to Conor Burke off the shoulder, Danny off the shoulder, Donal. Then they have Sean Curry roaming around the forward line. They have plenty of energy around that middle six, middle eight. And if they can keep going and get the scores to back it up, I think it will be really close.
And Owen, from your experience, like, from memory, you were mostly lucky with injury, Owen. You're nearly always available for the big day. Maybe in latter years, you had a couple of niggles here and there to contend with. But if you are Mikey or you are John Donnelly, you're back in the team and you are facing a very sharp, fluid running team, you know, are there doubts in the back of your mind whether you're up to match pace, match fitness? Do you think that could be a factor at the weekend?
It certainly could, and like you said, there is doubts about John and Mikey Carey. So, you know, I think mentally it's a huge thing, and I think you just have to decide if you're fit to go out in the field. You know, you don't have an injury, and I think you need to forget about it. And if you're not, There needs to be someone else in there, and that's just the way it is. You know, championship hurling, there can't be anyone out there with any doubts in their mind. They have to be fully on board and fully ready to go if they're going to Togo on Saturday. And look, like I said, we can't afford for anybody to be going out, you know, half fit. Dublin are a serious team. And like Alan said there, you know, I think Dublin are probably a better, more equipped team for Croke Park than they are for Parnell Park, because they have legs all over the field. They're very good hurlers, you know, and like the last day in Parnell Park was probably the first time since Hugh Lawler came onto the Kilkenny panel that I actually seen him in trouble. You know, he was he was really under pressure that night, and I think Croke Park will actually suit the Dublin forwards more than Parnell Park. So Kilkenny lads will really need to be up for this one.
Who has impressed you most then so far this season, Alan? Like Dublin's development to the outsider may have been some bit of a surprise, because at underage and at colleges and schools level, the development seemed to have stagnated a little bit, Alan. I'm not sure if you go along with that theory. And then Micheál Donoghue probably had injuries to contend, but he had a lot of players after leaving the panel. Some came back. So it took a while to try and get some momentum going. Who has impressed you, or what has impressed you, apart from the running game?
Well, in fairness, at the start, Kane O'Sullivan, a club mate of mine, had been going very well in the league, and even coming off the back of last year's championship, a strong performance against Clare. He pulled up there on the 2 weeks ago against Kilkenny, 3 weeks ago. So he's going to be a huge loss to them. But you look at, for his first year in the panel, Brian Hayes really playing, just not fazed by anything, and going box to box, carrying, he's marking some big powerful men in midfield. You obviously have the addition of Chris Crummy coming back from Australia. Huge. Like, he drives that team right from the back between himself and Owen O'Donnell. Like, but Chris getting forward, getting 4 points a game, has been my Danny Sutcliffe re-energised again, looks playing back to his best after so many years. Like, Sean Curry's coming involved, Conor Burke is contributing heavily. Like, you have so many fellas from that, especially from midfield on, scoring for them, where it used to rely on just Donal all the time. Yeah. They're pulling up scores everywhere. Dara Power came on against Galway, was very impressive. Dara Purcell. So these are lads who have kind of been on the fringes of 20s panels and in the background, and all of a sudden Micheál has given them a chance and they've taken it with both hands. So they've a lot of lads playing well. It's not as if we need the max out of the 15 that Dublin have. Like previous years, they probably have 16 good lads. Like, Dublin are calling on 19, 20 lads that can actually do jobs for them and be effective.
And Owen, if anything, it looks like, you know, the first 15 for Kilkenny is strongly packed, and I suppose you are waiting to see then, like, you know, you have players like Conor Fogarty and guys like that in reserve. But I suppose just go back to maybe the 15 who'll start for each team. Donald Burke will go wandering, and he's obviously a massive, massive guy to keep an eye on, but he could pop up anywhere in the field. So do you designate Mikey Butler to man mark him, or do you leave it to the midfielders to track him as much as they can when he comes out?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough one, and it's going to, I'd say, Derek Ling will probably have a couple of sleepless nights, but I think they're going to have someone pick him up, because, as you said, he just roams the field, and anywhere he picks up a ball, he's deadly accurate. So, he definitely can hurt Kilkenny. Whether they want to take a lad out of the full back lane to go with him, I'm not too sure about that. I'd say they'll probably just tell the midfielders. Well, Kilkenny has been playing that kind of deep lane midfield role anyway, so I'd say they'll probably maybe tell Keane just to keep an eye on him, and because Richie Reid probably will sit back in the pocket, he won't follow him. I'd say Keane Kenny will be the man around midfield just to pick him up, but like I said, they're going to have to, there's so many lads, as Alan said, there's so many lads that are able to score for Dublin now. In years gone by, I suppose it was left to, you know, the Danny Sutcliffes and these lads just to do the scoring, but you know, all six forwards and the midfielders and even a couple of the half backs pop up with a couple of scores every game, so you know, everybody's going to have to be watched, and like I said, Keane O'Sullivan will be a loss in the full forward line. He was going very well, but look, they have a big forward in Ronan Hayes there as well to pick up that mantle, so I wouldn't have too much worries about Dublin in the forward line.
As you both say, Keane O'Sullivan was having some campaign. Alan, as regards Kilkenny, two questions for you. Like, wherein does their chief danger lie? And if they do get a good start on you guys, are you confident that the Dublin's heads will prevail and that they'll find a way to get themselves into the game if that is the case?
Well, when you think of the last game, I suppose Kilkenny maybe started stronger in Parnell Park, and in fairness, it took a great save from Sean Brennan that kind of ignited Dublin to get back into the game. Yeah. So, but like when you look at it, like you're talking about Dublin's forwards there, and when you look up the top half, like Martin Keogan is a handful for any full back line in the country. Like, in fairness to him, he just doesn't stop. You have Adrian Mullen, Owen Cody, TJ. Like, you're seeing Owen Cody 70th minute up in Parnell Park, takes the ball 20, like he can cause danger from anywhere. Yeah. So Dublin also, as much as their backs love attacking, they are wary, saying like, we can't go too far. Like, John Donnelly scored 7 points in Parnell Park, so Dublin obviously have to worry about that. So like, they can hurt you. Like, they could bring on Walter as an option coming on. So like, they have scoring power all over the pitch. As well as that, they might be a different type of forward, more like Owen Murphy, puck the ball long, fight breaking ball and score off that, where Dublin might have to build the play. But like, right, there's no doubting they have six forwards that can really hurt you, like, on any given day.
Noel's right there, Owen. Like, just in terms of Kenny's top six, it's incredible on paper, really, to look at that. The challenge any team in Ireland is that maybe where the injection of confidence will come for any Kilkenny supporter going to watch their team tomorrow evening?
Oh, absolutely. Look, the forward line, I suppose Alan touched on it there. The forward line we have is kind of second to none. You know, TJ probably coming towards the end of his career, but still he's getting the job done as well. Even though he only got a point from play the last day, he won vital frees coming towards the end against Wexford. And, you know, he has that experience, you know, to be able to know he's not going to get away from players now, you know, kind of play a cute one and win a handy free. But look, Owen Cody's going to have to have a super game. John Donnelly obviously is probably, you know, player of the year so far in Kilkenny's eyes. He's going to have another good game. And like you said, Martin Keown, he's having a super year as well. Probably the accuracy just let him down a small bit the last day, but was on a lot of ball, and I'm sure he'll have worked hard on that over the last couple of weeks to try and get that right.
Guys, I'm presuming you're both going to go for your home teams, but can I just ask you to cast an eye on the Joe McDonagh Cup final for a sec? Laois versus Offaly, that's in Croke Park tomorrow evening at 3:30 p.m. Always a cracking competition. These two teams, an injury time winner, got Laois past Offaly the last time around. Owen, first of all, what are your thoughts on that final tomorrow evening?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a cracking final, Damien. I really do. Laois are going very well this year, and I think the buzz that Offaly will bring now from last weekend as well is going to be huge. So I really think this is going to be a cracking game and a cracking opener to the Leinster final day. And obviously the prize is huge. You know, a chance to get into the Leinster Championship, which Laois and Offaly haven't been in for a couple of years. So it's going to be a huge day out. And look, I expect Offaly are going to pack out Croke Park, especially after last week. They're great fans. They travel everywhere, and they're on a high now after last week. But look, I'm really looking forward to this. I'd say Laois probably just narrowly favourites, but look, you couldn't. Okay. It's going to be a ding-dong battle and a pint or two either way, I'd say.
Okay, Owen, thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you soon again.
Cheers, Damien.
Yeah, and Alan, I might just get your thoughts very quickly then. Laois versus Offaly, how do you see it? Offaly on a huge crest of a wave at the moment.
Yeah, much of the same as what Owen said. Like, they were beaten in the final last year, I think, by Carlow. Yeah. And like, Laois should be disappointed not to have been there. And they've racked up some serious scores during the... I see they actually watched their match against Kerry this year, and very goal hungry. And the minute they turned to 45, so like, it will be. But I suppose the pressure's on Offaly to probably follow it up after the 20s, and that'll suit Laois. So I wouldn't... It's very hard to call, but if I was to call, probably say Laois might get the job done.
Alan, great to talk to you, and please God, we'll chat to you later in the season as well. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks very much, Damien.
Alan Nolan there. Now let's switch to Munster hurling. Another massive weekend with Clare and Limerick meeting down south in the provincial decider at Thurles. And joining me now is former Clare hurler Podge Collins and former Limerick Camogie player Aoife Sheehan. Aoife and Podge, you're both very welcome.
Hi, Damien. Hey, Podge.
How are you, Damien?
Yeah, we're all very welcome to the show, guys. Aoife, first of all to you, what's the mood like in Limerick?
Yeah, it's good. good. I suppose like it's quiet in terms of build up, Jamie, and when, you know, there, I suppose there haven't been players available, you know, for interview and things like that when you look at it in the media and things like that. But there's great excitement, obviously, with people chatting about it and looking forward to the weekend and wondering what the team is going to be and teams, you know, team selections and just excitement because it's Clare again, you know, just the rivalry, the nature of the last few meetings, the last few years. And yeah, just great excitement, I suppose, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, fair play. And Podge, Clare team named Tony Kelly held in reserve. Much has been made about 1998 and the last chance, the last time that you won a Munster title. But I guess the current team can't really think like that about those things.
No, absolutely not. Every game's kind of taken on its merits, and this will be no different. Yeah, teams named, Limerick team named as well. Sean Finn not in the panel, which is an interesting one. That kind of team was as forecasted, I suppose, after Shane O'Brien's performance the last day. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see where David Reedy, Colin O'Neill and probably Keane Lynch, they're the only ones that you'd wonder where they could end up. Clare team then, Conor Lean, who probably showed a good bit of form. Rory Hayes in for him. But like if anything happens in the full back line, we've great cover in Conor Lean. And then Keane Galvin, unlucky to miss out to Dave McInerney coming back. But great to see Dave Mac back, because him and Grod Hegarty have had some great battles. And yeah, Tony not named, which is obviously a surprise for most people. Tony's probably one of the top five curlers in the country, so no doubt he'll have an impact on the game Sunday at some stage, whether he starts or he doesn't. But it's very unfair, I suppose, our managers having to name the team Thursday evening. Is it Friday morning now? Like, you've another training to go Friday evening, and I always felt that it's very important. I think the managers should name the team to their team first on Friday evening at that training, and then let the media or public have it after. But then it results in, I suppose, maybe changes and more changes on the game day. But anyway, I think that debate's been had before.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. Podge. And I guess, like, I suppose just the overriding feeling then, Podge, would be, and coming to you on this as well, Aoife, Limerick's strength and depth. Like, if you're going for five in a row and there's an outside narrative, how tired, how energised are the team, and you see people like Cathal O'Neill and Shane O'Brien and Adam English and all these guys forcing their way into the 26 and then forcing their way into the first 15. How much energy would that give everybody?
It's massive. They have a massive panel. They've built a great group of players like Adam. I think Fitzgibbon is a great kind of soundboard for players to see how good they're doing and see will they survive at inter-county level. And Shane O'Brien and Adam English were probably two of the standout players from that. And Colin O'Neill's just been exceptional throughout. But I think Limerick, people, like you're just talking about Limerick, maybe people talking about them being tired. I think this is the best Munster campaign they've had probably in the last five campaigns.
Whoa.
As in outside of the Munster final, the group games is the best they've probably been playing. So it's certainly ominous for other teams. But no, the young lads coming in have been excellent. And they're one team that can afford to lose players, which a lot of other teams can't.
Aoife, what would you fear from Clare, or what would you be looking out for then that they can bring to try and thwart Limerick on Sunday?
Yeah, I suppose firstly just on the impact, you know, from the bench, even Limerick's bench. Like Shane O'Brien was excellent the other day. You know, you saw Seamus Flanagan, you know, twinging his hamstring, you're going, oh God. But like Shane O'Brien slotted in there so well and actually brought something different, I think, to it. You know, it's excellent in the air, can win his own ball and just takes it on and drives through. So you got something different from him as well. And obviously Cathal O'Neill, same thing. But Clare, look, I think they just love playing Limerick. And it's, you know, just even chatting here, like Conor Cleary and Aaron Gillan, like you'd be so frustrated in the stand watching the two of them, you know, nearly wrestling for most of the game inside when the ball is going in. But it's all, you know, all those little things break out in the game, and that's what you get. And look, it's going to be a big day out for Cullum Lions, I suppose, as well. And a lot of pressure to be refereeing on. There's been a lot spoken about and just how hard it is to referee these games as well now. So there's a lot on him. But look, Clare won't be shy. They'll be up for this, and they won't want to be leaving, I suppose, Damien, with, you know, losing three in a row, like, and Munster finals and Munster championship medals. You know, they're really well regarded, and you know, especially in Clare with them having won it in so long, was it 26 years or something? So they, you know, they'll be looking to write that, I suppose, on Sunday.
And Podge, what has impressed you most about the Clare panel this season so far?
Yeah, thanks for a reminder, Aoife. 26 years.
sorry, Podge. I really didn't want to rub that one.
I think you did, Aoife. I think you did.
Yeah, no. It's what's impressed me most, really, is that Brian and the management team have just found so many new players that probably the Clare public weren't sure of at the start. Maybe would they make the step up? And they have. We've kind of got cover now on every line, which we probably didn't have the last few years and which Limerick probably had. And it's just, I suppose, it's a matter on Sunday. Like, if we make those changes and they work out and like, even though Clare haven't really finished games strong this year, usually lads that have come in have made a good impact, which is kind of nearly counterintuitive. But we'll see now how Sunday goes. But I think the one good thing about the Clare team now at the moment is that I think with Davy Mack back, everyone's fit. So I don't think we're missing anyone. Like, I know Tony Kelly has had his struggles this year with his injury, but I think he's kind of coming along nicely and he's fit. And I suppose on the other side of that, then Limerick will be delighted to have Darragh Donovan back as an option. Mm. And he creates another headache when he comes in, whether, like, I don't think he's starting now. I think usually, when John Kiley names the team, is the team.
Yeah.
But we'll see, you know, and we'll see now on Sunday. But yeah, that's one thing I am very happy with this Clare team. We've got more options off the bench, and we've covering every line. And then, like I said, we've everyone fit.
Yeah. So Aoife, that last 10 minutes then that Podge talks about, Limerick absolutely sprint from home nearly 9 times out of 10 in that period. Clare have maybe struggled a little bit this year so far. Is that the key alarm zone for Clare? And how do they surmount that obstacle then, I guess?
Yeah, it is. I suppose I was down at the league final even, and you know, you felt Clare were in control for a lot of that game, but they really left Kilkenny back into it. You know, with a few minutes to go. Similarly, when Limerick and Clare met earlier on in the Munster Championship, and then you have, in contrast, like Limerick's ability to kick on. So I think they outscored Waterford was it 10-1 in that last 10 minutes period or something. And you know, when Waterford got Limerick back to 2 points. I was actually covering for Radio that day. You were kind of going, oh, here we go. Is there something going to happen here? But then, you know, another gear is just found with Limerick. And that's definitely something that Clare will have to stem. You know, when I suppose Limerick are doing that and they're getting into their groove, how do you stop that? And how do you stop them when they're in flow? Because they just love picking off points. And they're told, just go for your scores. Just keep shooting. And that seems to be the mantra. And, you know, if their shooting efficiency was a lot better in the Waterford game, I mean, they would have been out of sight by half time. So I'm sure that's something that they've been working on. So from a Clare point of view, it's how do you do that and how do you stop that tide when it rises?
Podge, that is the question that Aoife poses. Like, there's definitely another gear there for Clare, but you looked at the team sheet, they have some of the most informed hurlers in the country from Shane O'Donnell all the way back through the team. Finding that gear on the biggest day of the season so far, that's quite the challenge, Podge, isn't it? But would you be fully confident that your former teammates have the ability to find that gear?
Oh, I'd say absolutely. Yeah, I do. It's something that in-game management is something that Limerick are probably the best in the country at, for the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Like, in particular, that All-Ireland semi-final against Galway. Galway created a few goal chances, could have been up 5 or 6 points. I think the Nicky Quaid kind of, it's remembered for Nicky Quaid contact lens saga, like, which was, I don't think it had anything to do with it. But, I really, Limerick just assess the game on the line so well and make the relevant changes to impact the game. Like, they dropped kind of 4 into their half back line that second half, and the Galway puck was just completely stemmed. They couldn't get the ball past that half back line. They just put a wall there. So I'm just hoping, like, if Clare do something similar on Sunday, just keep assessing the game as it goes on. You nearly want 2 game plans, one for the first half against Limerick, and hopefully be on top of them, and then change it completely so that when they try stem your game plan, that you come up with a different one here in the second half or something like that. But
yeah.
I've no doubt that the engines are there in the lads, and I've no doubt that they've been focusing on this for the last 2 weeks, and they'll be 100% ready to go to 75 or 6 or whatever minutes it is.
Just on what Cork did, I suppose, as well, you know, the way they ran at the attack or at our defence and things like that. I'm sure Clare will be looking at that, saying, can we do a bit of that, and can we get a bit of that into our game plan as well, you know, that might work for them.
My head was just thinking to 2 schools games, Podge, that I was involved in yesterday, and you're trying to control kids flying and the ball flying everywhere all over the pitch, and you're trying to see, if I don't make some moves here, we're not going to win this game. And at that age, winning is not everything, but on Sunday, winning is everything. And from your experience, Podge, being on the Fitzgibbon Cup line even a few months ago, how do Limerick find that moment of calm, you know, when all the fire is raging around them? Is it repetition over the years that allows them to tweak or to make a move that allows them fly home the whole time?
Yeah, I do think the experience, like, it's the same nearly in work or in life or in anything. When you see something a couple of times, you start to get better at dealing with it. I just think Limerick have seen it so many times, and they've seen out these games. It's like the Dublin team that won 5 in a row. The amount of games they won by a point, but you never thought they should have lost the games. even though they're winning by a point or they're drawing games and then coming out by a point, it's just the, that experience. And I think Limerick have that. But like I said at the start, it's just every game is just a new game. And you just, if Limerick are not fully at it, if both teams are fully at it, like, I think it'll come down to the wire. Hopefully Clare will come on the right side of it. But I think Clare are coming along nicely. And I know you're winning is everything in this game, but even if Clare do lose or if Limerick do lose on Sunday, they'll dust themselves down. You have another three games to win an All-Ireland final. So it's not the end of the world if Sunday doesn't go according to plan for Clare.
Great to talk to you, Podge, and we'll chat to you again in a week or two if that's okay.
Yeah, thanks, Damien. Thanks, Aoife. Chat to you later.
See you, Podge.
The great Podge Collins there. Aoife, final word to you then. I won't ask you who you're going for because I'm sure you'll go for the green and white. But just what are you looking forward to most about Sunday?
It's all about the matchups, Damien, isn't it? And seeing like what players will come out on top, and just like if Limerick can do it, like six in a row with Munster is just is phenomenal. Like, I mean, if they can do that and get over the line and just set themselves up for getting up to Croke Park then in as few moves as possible on the board, you know, that kind of way. So that's the exciting thing, I suppose, from a Limerick point of view.
Yeah, thanks so much for your time, Aoife. We'll chat to you soon.
Cheers,
Damien. Yeah, Aoife Sheehan there, and before Aoife, Podge Collins as well. That's it, folks. Hope you enjoyed the massive, massive weekend ahead. Massive thanks also to our producer, Damien O'Mara, and Dave Gibson. The great Dave Gibson was on sound. From myself, Damien Lawler, mind yourselves, and thanks a million for listening.